This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hang out the rest of the way. Grossman swings and tags one to left. It's hooking towards the pole. If it's fair, it's gone, and it is fair and out of here. Robbie Grossman leaves the yard, sneaking one down the line in the corner, and the Rangers lead 12-2.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, Mike, I know we got diverted by plenty of Dallas Card Show talk, and that's understandable. Y'all had a blast out there on Friday. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to the Rangers to sell or not to sell. And there's a few different things I wanted to just throw out there as like what people are talking about, right? Okay, so Cam Colley and Anthony Gutierrez, two of the Rangers' top 11 picks, or excuse me, two of their top 11 prospects in the system were both removed from games. And whenever that happens, obviously tongues start wagging and you start wondering.
Foskey wasn't playing.
Yes. Who did we trade for? What was the move? What was this? You brought up the Bob Nightingale thing where opposing GMs expect the Rangers to be sellers at the deadline with Scherzer, Lorenzen, Heaney, Robertson, Yates, all being made available. And then Evan Grant even put out an article why the Texas Rangers should be sellers at the trade deadline if they don't turn things around. And that was, I think, 2 days ago. So there is a lot of people who are throwing it out there, but he, at least Evan, is like, if they don't turn it around. And I think that's fair. Look, we talked about it. When we talked with Boach last week, he was like, look, we're not even to the All-Star break yet. He was like, we're not selling. And then Chris Young said, I believe in this team. I believe they're capable of a run. We just have to put ourselves in a better position so that nothing is insurmountable. This team had a 40-20 run last year. It's in there. So really doesn't sell. It really doesn't sound like he's like, hey, we should probably sell soon.
I'm with you.
But I understand how if you finish up going into the break 1-5, that you're just like, so every two-game winning streak we have, if you want to call it a winning streak, every time we win two straight games, it's followed by that. Like, how are you supposed to build momentum? But then I can also say, you know, the Rangers won 5 of 7. They just had a sweep, and then they go 5-1 to close the stretch. So if you tell me they went 10-3 going into the All-Star break, I think I'm like, no, I don't want to sell anything. Buy. Bring me more because we're back in this.
I'm with you.
Does that make you a bad GM?
Oh, to live on the last six games going into the All-Star
break? Well, and also
break?
To live on the, like, on the, hey, look, y'all showed me at the last moment.
See, I don't know. You might be right, but I'm telling you, there's a sense of emotion when you hear Chris Young.
Oh, he's passionate.
And Bruce Bochy talk. And I get it with Boach more, but Chris Young kind of has this, like, he cares a lot, and I get that. But also, he can detach himself from the situation and, like, be robotic when necessary. But when you hear him say, I know it's in this team, I've seen it. When you hear Boach, whether it's talking about Leody, remember we brought up the idea of, like, does Leody need to continue to start? This is a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, and he was like, he was a starter on the team that won the World Series. Yeah. And when we asked about trading, he goes, we haven't even gotten to the trade deadline yet. Like, I think it's too early. And then Mike tried to ask him about, like, past teams he might have been in, and he deflected it back to, we're still in this thing. So there's a level of emotion that comes along with defending your title that if this was any other Rangers year, it definitely wouldn't be there.
That's a hell of a line right there.
Here's another thing. I'm just going to throw this out. Does Bochy want to be the manager next year if this team starts selling off pieces in July? If they try, like, he's...
Okay.
Why couldn't he just retire? I'm not saying he retires on July 30th, but what I'm saying is if he sees the Rangers go down a path of selling and not replenishing, especially in the offseason, he could be like, well, I came back to win now. I'm too old to go through a 2 or 3 year process of maybe trying to get back to a 90 win team.
Well, that's where the other part of selling while also staying relevant is a factor in that conversation. Because Nico sold and made the team better at the same time too, right? Like, maybe not sold, but made trades that went from, hold on, you thought you had a piece on this team, and it turned into an even better piece on the team.
You're talking about Porzingis?
Well, like Grant Williams, you know, turning into something better for you. And down the line as you're going along. So maybe there is that opportunity of, look, this year we just didn't do it. And we tried to sign some veteran free agents to create, to fix our bullpen roles, but it turned out we had other things we didn't know that were bigger problems. And we can still make some trades that give us some valuable pieces for next year. So maybe looking at next year is the focus. But I don't think that either one of them are looking at next year. I think both of them right now and on a daily basis look at how do you fix the problem right now.
And that's where I am, and I think that's why you're right, Corey. I usually feel like I'm more detached emotionally in these situations, but damn it, the Rangers have never won the World Series, and they're still the defending champions. And every time, because Mike, we played this game with other teams before. I fall into the trap of, I grew up here. I was born and raised here. So were y'all. I want the team to succeed. So when they beat the Orioles, they smoke the Orioles to end that series. In the back of my mind, I could ignore the first three games and be like, man, you really put it to them. And then you start off and you shut out San Diego. I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go.
San Diego, yes. That was it. I said Milwaukee. I was like, I got screwed up there.
And then you lost the next two to San Diego and you're back to like, huh, okay. And then you just swept a not bad Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, they're not great. Right, but they're
an average 500 team.
Yeah, and you just swept them. The bats came alive to close it out. If you can get some momentum going against the Angels, I am desperate, like I bet a lot of people in the Metroplex are, to like give me a reason to not sell. I'm not even saying a reason to buy. Give me a reason to not sell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Give me just show me some life. Show me something so that I can be like, you know what? I'll squeeze this thing together. We'll put some tape on it if we have
to. Yeah, and to me, let's just say you win both the series 2-1, 2-1, right? Like, it would be great. Los Angeles is not very good. It'd be great if you could sweep them. But let's say you go 4-2 to close it out, and you just swept Tampa Bay. You close 7-2, and now you've kind of closed the gap. At least put yourself in striking position for the division. I'm definitely not selling, and you also bought yourself closer to the deadline because you have until the end of the month. But you've bought yourself a little bit more time to, like, let's ride it closer to the deadline because I don't see a reason to sell right now.
I'm with you, and as you're talking about this, this is what I'm thinking. I don't know these things. I know a lot about baseball. Here's what I don't know. And this is where like a Tom Grieve might know, but maybe this was well before there was so much money in the game that he wouldn't know either. Maybe talking to John Daniels, he does have a job with Tampa somewhat, so he might not want to talk as openly about this. Does Chris Young have to have, I'm assuming he does he have to have a conversation with Ray Davis and what the budget is next year?
Yes.
Because in these articles that Ken Rosenthal on The Athletic, Bob Nightingale on the USA Today, I'm assuming Evan Grant in the Dallas Morning News. All right. If I'm going to compete next year, I need to know what my budget is because I'd like to have Kirby Yates back. He has an under one ERA. Yeah. I'd like to have David Robertson back because if I look at my bullpen pieces, if I lose those two guys and you tell me I have no budget for a bullpen, I can't win next year.
Yeah.
I can't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just not even concentrate on this year. But I need to ask the question on, can I re-sign Yates? Can I re-sign Robertson? Can I re-sign? I think I'd like Michael Lorenzen back as of today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that's a heck of a pickup that you've had. Andrew Heaney's having a very good year. I'm not saying I need these guys on five-year deals, but I look at my farm system, and I look at it and go, I don't have replaceable pieces right now for those guys. As of July 1st or July 8th, I do not have a minor league system that can replace these guys if I lose all these guys at free agency. Now, Max Scherzer, maybe you let him walk in a way that you're just like, I'm scared of his future as in his age and his history. But Michael Lorenzen and Andrew Heaney look like they still have years left. And Scherzer's throwing great right now, and maybe you get a better indication. But I'm going to need in the offseason, I'm just looking at this from a really competitive standpoint on where I'm at. I'm going to need at least $30 million, if not $50 million, to spend on my 2025 team. And if I get I have no clue. If Ray Davis says, once again, this is all just speculation, is if Ray Davis says, no, I want to cut the budget $30 million, I have to trade all these guys.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that would be like Chris Young going, I don't want to do this. Or do you just make this one last run And then you go into 2025 and go, I'm selling off. If anybody brings me the right offer for Corey Seager, I'm trading Corey Seager. I'm not like, because if I start getting a budget that is so cut, then I have to start going, well, then I have to have such a small budget. So I feel like Ray Davis and Chris Young, and they probably have these conversations all of the time.
Every single time they talk.
But like, we don't know this as fans. I don't know this as covering the Rangers, but these are relevant to selling or buying or holding in the next 3 weeks is what is my budget in 2025? And then does Ray Davis go, another theory we just talked about, does he go, I have no clue what my budget is. I have zero TV contracts available in the next 5 years.
That's where I was about to head.
Okay.
I do wonder with Ray Davis is if it is, I have different ideas than you, but I really want to see something too. Maybe he needs to see something that's going to change his mind on what his budget is.
And that's where it gets a little tricky, if I can toss it into this then. By the way, for the record, I firmly believe they would have eventually re-signed Jordan Montgomery, where you saw when the market got to, if they hadn't have had to change their TV deal. I know the Rangers were concerned about some of his long-term metrics. Here's where it gets tricky. The trade deadline is, I believe, 5 o'clock on July 30th. That next Diamond Sports Group, and if you wonder like why we keep talking about the legal part of it, and you're like, this is like a damn crime show or something, is because it is relevant to the TV deal. That next hearing where I think they're going to decide whether or not this thing has legs going forward is July 31st. And so think about
it. Bad timing.
And think about it. Their ownership group might have talked with whoever. Let's say Apple decided, hey, we're going beyond Friday Night Baseball. We're getting in this all the way, and we want to be in the Texas Rangers business. Or say they talk with whoever, and they're like, we got this one deal where we know we'll get $80 million a year. We got another deal. We might be able to make up to $110 million a year. Or we might lose in the court case and Diamond might continue and we might be stuck where we're at right now with this renegotiation. Like, there's any number of things that could happen. And if you're not going to get news from that, best case, until the day after the trade deadline, that's tough for budgetary purposes. It's tough to go, well, I hope this works out the way we want it to tomorrow.
Yeah, and you would think, oh, those guys they're very well, you know, connected to that case and everything. I have a friend who had a very big case that he was dealing with right up to the last minute, thought he was going to lose it, and then he won.
Yeah. You know?
And then guess what? Things got pushed and pushed afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like,
what are you supposed to do? Tell the judge, hey, we got the trade deadline coming up?
Yeah, we need to know this stuff so we can get... No, they don't care. They're doing it on their clock. So, yeah, there's a lot that Ray Davis needs to decide. Is he doing this thing as a, look, I run this as a business again. You know, this is a business and strictly a business, and I'm worried about the bottom line more than anything else. Or, hey, man, I really do have this thing built for fans. And that's what we're going to build this foundation on, because the fans will keep showing up. They'll keep buying tickets. They'll keep buying merchandise if we keep putting a winner out there.
This is where I struggle to tell you what I really think is going to happen. You know, because like, whether you agree or disagree with us, I like to think that we all tell you like legit what we think is going to happen. Part of me wants to be like, surely there's a year exception to defending the title. And then the rest of my brain's like, well, what's that based on? Because businessmen are always like,
yeah,
that's fine. We'll give away some money because it's the right thing to do. Where is the precedent for that throughout American history, or really world history? So every time I tell myself, well, it's different this year, but why? Because I want it to be different?
Yeah, yeah, that's the only reason why. I mean, a very shrewd businessman who's very rich, didn't make his money by just giving it all away.
No, absolutely. And people are already coming to the ballpark this year. You're still going to have the All-Star game as a springboard into the second half of the season. Obviously, I realize it would be so much better if you were winning, but you're still going to have that to springboard you into the second half of the season. And a lot of people already have season tickets or 10 and 20 game plans and everything like that. So from a business perspective, I can see why you would sell some of these people.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is you look at it, and they do have very watchable players. Corey Seager, sure, very watchable. Marcus Semien, very reliable, watchable. And then you have Wyatt Langford, who's taking off right now. Yeah. You have Evan Carter, who, look what he did last year. It's in him. We know how good Evan Carter can be. Sure. He has to get healthy, and his body has to be able to handle 6 months of baseball. And I think the Rangers understand that he just doesn't have a very mature body, and that's nothing he can do about. It's just the way God created him. He wasn't you know, built maybe for 6 months of baseball so far. If you look at from age 18 to 21, he's really struggled to stay healthy because of the stress of 140 to 160 plus games. So I look at it and go, there's a lot of positives with the Rangers and their future, but there's also this unknown, which is scary. And because you haven't played good baseball this year, I think going back to this whole topic, and Corey, one of the things you brought up is like, are you a good or bad GM if you're going to let six games or like the last 2 weeks of a month decide what you're going to do? I think what's tough is see why Chris Young has seen below average baseball this whole season from his team. Inconsistent and then below average. They haven't won more than they've lost. They've lost more than they won. Is that now he's wanting, I think just like us, he's wanting the hopium of like, give me something. You guys just gave me something at the end of this homestand. Can you carry it to LA and carry it to Houston? Because if you do, my conversations with the ownership are going to go a lot better than if you guys go 2-4. Because if you guys go 2-4 on this trip, I'm going to have a meeting with the ownership at the All-Star break, which every team pretty much does. And the ownership obviously can dictate which way a general manager can and can't go. I can have a lot better arguments if you guys end up going 4-2 or 5-1 on this road trip than if you go below 500.
Yeah, because then I think Mike's got something there. It's less about the budget because he understands those extra games and playoffs and those extra games that go a little bit further and where that money goes.
I mean, I'm just doing this. I think, don't you, as a human, you're trying to get your point across and I hate saying this, but every human tries to manipulate another human.
You play the game.
Play the game.
Sure.
I can manipulate my ownership a lot more if I show them what a win streak we're on and what Wyatt Langford has done lately and Corey Seager and what we've done from our pitching staff and all the wins we're creating now and go, do you remember what it felt like in October? And if I can get enough people to believe in that room what it felt like in October, I can get them to give me what I want. And that means not selling, one, the players on the team that are going to be free agents, and then two, maybe adding a piece or two to take it to another level, which could push us into, once again, I said this earlier, the worst division in baseball by far.
The other thing too then, so all right, how are you going to fix this team? What are you going to add to this? Let's just assume it goes on that run. What is your plan to add to this team? Because I can't add another $250 million pitcher.
Sure.
I can't do that right now. How can we be a contender? Because Kevin, I am looking at attendance, and 2 years ago, attendance was 24,832 per game.
Yeah.
Last year it was 31.
Now it's almost 33.
Almost 33. And I know the number on your payroll is a lot different too, but that number's got to be a big deal. Look, the fans are showing up. Let's give them a reason to continue showing up even more on the back half of this season.
I would argue in that instance, you can take on as big of a money player as you want as long as this is their last year. You know, like the prorated hit of the salary you'll have to take won't put you anywhere near that position. So there would be big names out there that you just understand, like, hey, this is probably, you get them for this amount of time.
I'll give you a cheapie that's easy to get, and I don't have to worry about anybody telling me we don't have the budget for. Give me a 7th-8th inning left-handed reliever.
Okay.
Jacob Latz was pushed into a position he's not ready for.
Yeah.
Brock Burke, back in the minor leagues, just Brock Burke hasn't worked out since 2022. It's just gone away. For some reason, that 2022 hasn't been there for 2 years now. And then I don't have another guy. So I know that people didn't like Aroldis Chapman, but I need another Aroldis Chapman. I need a guy that
Spores isn't ready to,
but he's right-handed.
Okay,
I'm not saying, but I need a little bit of depth there. And Spores, I'm scared of. That shoulder thing scares the death out of me.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I can't rely on Spores coming back and being September, October Spores.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a long career to say that that's who he is and that's who he's always going to be, because didn't we believe that after the playoffs, Leclerc has now figured it out and is going to be great at relieving at all times and big time closing
and
situations?
Everything changed, huh?
And we got to the end of the month of April and it was like, hey, Kirby Yates, you're our closer the rest of the way.
Yep.
So I look at it and go, I can get something really cheap here. Now, a lot of people are going to want it, but I don't have to give up very much to get it. Is a left-handed reliever who I believe can get outs in the seventh or eighth inning for me. That can help me out. I have to believe if I'm Chris Young, I have to believe if this offense keeps doing what it's doing, it doesn't matter. I'm done anyways. My guys that are hitters that have proven themselves last year have to start hitting, and Josh Young has to come back after the All-Star break and help us out.
And just if none of that happens, keep an eye on, in addition to the names we threw out there, Nathaniel Lowe and Adolis Garcia. Just keep an eye on them. You never know what could happen.
But if all of that happens,
oh, hell yeah,
then we're going to go win the whole damn thing again.
Agreed.
If you make it, you can do it. Because if you make it, we're going to assume this. Scherzer stayed healthy throughout this run. Because like we are going to have to go 40-20 here pretty soon. And so it's if you go 40-20 in your next 60 games, which needs to happen now, to be honest. So if you do that, then probably Max Scherzer stayed healthy throughout that time. Nathan Eovaldi's pitching his, you know, butt off, I guess. Lorenzen staying Lorenzen. Andrew Heaney staying Andrew Heaney, and we're scoring runs for him all of a sudden. You get back Malley, and he's throwing the ball pretty well. Your bullpen is closing down almost every game because you're on a 40-20 stretch, and your offense had to pick it up and started averaging five or more runs again like they were able to do for 162 games last year. So if you do that and you make it, even if it's against Baltimore, I won't even throw DeGrom out there yet. But if you get Eovaldi and Scherzer and whichever guy you want to pick as your third starter, you know teams are going to be crapping their pants going, you got to be S-ing me.
Yeah.
Like this team that stunk for the first 90 games of the season, all of a sudden in their last 70 games, went, let's say 45-25 and snuck into the playoffs. And now we have to face a team that's super hot, that in October, they weren't scared of the moment, and Evan Carter's now back hitting like Evan Carter, and Wyatt Langford freaking won Rookie of the Year. Oh, crap.